This is the King Chasing Podcast. Here's your host, Richard Martin.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the King Chasing Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Martin, and glad you could be back with us after a little bit of a break in July as we continue our summer series on mission trips taken by NCCAA student athletes. Of course, if you've missed any episodes of the King Chasing Podcast, including our entire summer series, you can listen to past episodes of this podcast on YouTube at the NCCAA YouTube channel, on Spotify, Apple Music, or the NCCAA.org/podcast. Today, we are joined by sophomore Kingsiah Aquindo, who is a member of the Lancaster Bible College track and field team, as he discusses his team's trip to Costa Rica. During his time in Costa Rica, Aquindo, along with his Charger teammates, partnered with High Performance Sports Costa Rica to help with various ministries, such as volunteering with widows in the area, holding sports camps for children, and buying food for those in need. Once again, thanks to Kingsiah for joining me on this episode of the King Chasing Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Without further ado, let's get into the newest episode of the King Chasing Podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the King Chasing Podcast, continuing our summer series on mission trips taken by NCCAA student athletes. I am joined today by Kingsiah Aquindo from Lancaster Bible College. And Kingsiah, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about your team's mission trip to Costa Rica.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And so we'll just dive right into it. You know, this was a big team trip. I believe it was close to 20 student athletes. But how did you find out about this mission trip and decide, okay, I want to spend part of my summer going with my team to Costa Rica?
Yeah, so I will say this is something that's been brought up even before, you know, track season even started. So this was something that started in the beginning of the semester, of the fall semester. And I actually wasn't looking to do any missions trip at all. That's just something that was not on my heart. And then we had a missions conference, and then I forgot about it. And then the Lord kind of just brought it back. Like, it was reminded and kind of put it on my heart, like, this is something that you should experience. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, I was in a mission trip. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And so, you know, again, your whole team goes, how did this kind of turn into a whole team going on a trip? You know, usually you see like several members of a team will go on a trip, but yeah, it seems like it was a lot of the Lancaster track and field team. How did it kind of come together where it was like most of the team, it looked like, was going on this trip?
Yeah, well, look, praise the Lord for how he orchestrated everything. Yeah. But it was opened up to everybody on the track team. Everybody's more than welcome to come, but I think the Lord, the way that the Lord just orchestrated the people on this track team, we have a lot of people who are very missional and are just looking to share the gospel and willing to act on that. So, I mean, I didn't think that there was going to be a lot of people, but I mean, when I looked at the numbers, it was like 20 people. I'm like, wow, it's crazy how the Lord provided. And the craziest story so far was like, this was nothing by my doing, but like, I didn't even know how the Lord was going to provide for everything with me. Hmm. And the Lord provided so much funds for my trip that he it was also able to pay off somebody else's trip.
Oh, wow.
The funds were due the day right after. Mm-hmm. And this person did not have the funds yet. We needed 2,000. This person had only 600. Hmm. The day before everything was due. And the Lord just kind of orchestrated everything. And he provided so much funds for me that he was able to cover his thing too. And it was awesome how the Lord did everything.
That's awesome. And so, yeah, so the trip gets underway. And so just what were some of the ways that you and your team were able to serve in Costa Rica?
So there was when we got there, we're helping out with this sports ministry. It's called HPS. I'm trying to figure out what the name, what it stands for, but it's all right. I think it was like hyper performance. Or I forgot, but it was a ministry called HPS, and they host missions trips on mission teams to stay at their place to go explore other ministries around Costa Rica and to host clinics and stuff like that. So it was that was really fun. And some of the ministries that we were able to help out, the first one when we got there, it was a widow's ministry. Hmm. And pretty much they drove us around in this weird van thing. It was awesome. We got to know the driver really well. But they pretty much there was a the ministry was a place where men widows were able to stay at, and it was led by this elderly lady who was also a widow, and it was very awesome. We got to hear their testimonies. We went to a grocery store, and there was a budget that we had to get up to, and everybody and we competed amongst each other to see who could get closer to that budget, and we pretty all that food that we got goes to them. So that was awesome. Another one that we got to go to was probably the one. I mean, every ministry touched me in a way, but this one was the most impactful one for me personally. And it was a quote unquote orphanage. But that's what it was told to us, an orphanage. But when we got there, it was not. It was a place. It was a ministry called Calvary La Iglesia, which is Calvary Chapel, Costa Rica. And they pretty much rescue kids who were who were traded in for organ harvesting, and then also sexually trafficked. It was heavy ministry. The stories that we were hearing about these kids, they had to tell us that when we get there, you cannot engage in any physical contact. You have to let them come to you. Because if you do, it'll trigger something in their mind because of all the stuff that they went through. I mean, just thinking about the little girl who was probably like 3 or 4, who was in a wheelchair. She had to go through surgery when she was only about 3 months because of everything that she was going through and her being, you know, exploited sexually. So, I mean, that ministry was heavy. Very heavy ministry. And then the last ministry that they took us to was it was a young adults autistic support school. So we got to just see what they did, the creations. They had like carpentry, they had cooking, computer tech, all that kind of stuff. And it was a school for young adults who wanted to learn a little bit more skills. So it was awesome. I mean, those are pretty much all the ministries that we got to do, but just from those three ministries in the week that we were there, it was so much, a big impact.
Looking, Zai, you kind of mentioned it a little bit, going to the orphanage with those children that had been trafficked and kind of seeing all of these different kinds of people in Costa Rica. What was kind of some of the things that, you know, were most eye-opening or kind of most interesting things that you saw on this trip?
I would say the biggest eye-opening thing for me was probably, like I said, the amount of people that go to visit, and this pretty much ties into the biggest eye-opening thing, but like Costa Rica is a third world country and it's known for like child trafficking and all that stuff. Well, not known for that, but like that's the big thing there and the big problem there. But like the amount of Americans that go over there and visit, like we saw a statistic and we saw that most of child trafficking came from America, right? Mm-hmm. And it bothered me a little bit being an American. It's like, wow, like I look at these kids and like when we were helping out with the orphanage, it was like, oh, well, like these kids are like anywhere between 3 to 12. And these kids went through more things than I have. And like I come from a really rough spot myself, but like this is rough. Like you look at the kids' eyes and like I said, they told us not to engage in any physical contact. But as soon as we got there, they jumped on us and they wanted to play with us. All I wanted to do was play. And you see the joy in their eyes and stuff like that. And it's like, whoa, hold on. These kids just want to play. You never thought that any of these kids went through anything. Right. And it's the same thing with each other, with every other ministry. It's like, you wouldn't even have thought like these guys are suffering with anything or going through anything. They have so much joy. And it's like something like the biggest eye opener for me. It's like, wow. Like, even in all these struggles, like they're grateful for what they have. They're joyful for everything that they have. And it hit me. And it kind of, in a way, I had a little bit of anger because it's like, who would do anything to these kids? Mm-hmm. Right? Who would do that? That bothered me a lot. It was like, why would you want to do something like that to these kids? So yeah, those are probably the biggest eye openers for me. And this, especially for this mission trip.
And so, yeah, like I said, it sounded like God really moved on this trip for you and your team. And so what was kind of a specific way that you think, you know, that God kind of taught you something or showed you something on this trip that you still think about today?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that the Lord has been teaching me through that missions trip is to just be submitted. And like what I mean by that is it's so easy to be drained out because like we were spending hours on end with the kids and like we were kind of like there were certain areas where it was like I kind of just want to lay down. And then like also like especially in a missions trip, like you're in a different culture, so like you don't know what the water situation. Sometimes the lights would go out. And there was a time when one of our guys got his money stolen from the locker that he put his money at. So
Oh,
it was just learning, all right, Lord, this is where you have me. Even though I don't want to do some of these things, even though I kind of just want to chill, I need to be submitted to the ministry that you've placed in front of me. I mean, this is a just thinking like this is something that I get to do, not something that I had to do, right? I completely chose, but the Lord has also had his hand over everything. He's provided everything. So who am I to say, oh Lord, I don't want to do this area where it's like the Lord wanted to put me here for a reason. Not just me. Like it's not about me, but everybody here. So like that, like at the missions trip, like it was, I think that was probably the biggest thing for me. Like I needed to be submitted. And like I think the Lord revealed that to me. It was like there was a couple of times where I was like, it was in my feelings a little bit. And it was like, all right, even though I'm mad, even though I'm upset, even though I'm sad, even though I'm going through these feelings, this is the ministry. I need to dial in on that and let whatever I'm going through right now get in the way of what the Lord's trying to do through other people, to other people, you know?
Yeah, it's awesome. So, like we said, there's a bunch of people on the Lancaster Bible College track team that went on this trip. You know, it can be kind of hard with a bigger team like that to kind of grow closer together at times. But how did this trip kind of help your team kind of grow closer together and to God while you were on this trip to Costa Rica?
I think the amount of time we spent together, like we spent a lot of together, we spent a lot of time together on the campus, but not as much as we did today. Like we've grown so much. Like I like the way my coach did it, where she like kind of orchestrated different roles for us. Each of us were gonna oversee a role, and me and two other guys had the opportunity to oversee the devos, right? And pretty much we would set up every each night or any opportunity to do testimonies, and we would set up who's going to do devos and stuff like that, whether that's us or someone else. And also worship, we would also orchestrate all those things. But like just all those things, like working at like it was almost like a little church, but we were working as a body. We weren't replacing it, but it was just the way that we were able to orchestrate everything, and everything went smoothly, right? When we were actually working together and not trying to collide and be like, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. Like everything worked smoothly. So I thought it grew us so much closer. Like the conversations I had that we had, the bonding, the jokes that we were making with each other, the worship. We took a we had a 4-hour drive to like the beach. It was so long. But like during that time, like we're all together. It's like we might as well be in fellowship with each other. And then we did some worship, got to know some of the people in the other ministry. It was awesome. Like it was really good.
That's great. And so, like I said, trip gets done. You know, it's been done for a while. You're actually getting ready to get back on campus here soon as we get toward August. But how has this trip kind of made you think about how you can serve, you know, locally on your campus, in the town, or back home, just wherever you can in the United States, and kind of continued that mission trip back home?
Yeah, I think so. The biggest barrier for me, because my heart, I love evangelizing so much. I think I love talking to people. I can go on for hours talking. I love speaking to people. I don't get shy of it. So I'll go around like I'm in this club in my school. It's called Student Evangelism Fellowship, and I'll go around to the first person I see and I'll go talk to them, right? Buddy, like I want to talk to everybody. Right, my goal is that the whole world would be made known to the gospel, but also like everybody would know the word as well. But the biggest struggle for me at Costa Rica is the language barrier, and that was definitely a struggle. So I think for me personally, I think learning to learning to like how Paul puts it, to speak as I am, like Paul says. I speak to the Jews as a Jew, and then I speak to the Gentiles as a Gentiles, and the Greek is as a Greek, and like I want to do that same thing where it's like I want to be able to speak to everybody, like them, right? It can be hard to speak because I'm from Philly, so it can be hard to speak to somebody from Leicester like they're from Philadelphia. Like at my church, we have to make our like our Bible study, or not a Bible study, but our Sunday service. We go verse by verse, but we make it milky so they understand the gospel. Because at the end of the day, we get a lot of drug addicts, we get a lot of drug dealers that come in. They just need to know the gospel. And like, so you have to go a little bit more. It's more meaty, right? You have to teach the word. You have to go a little bit more expositional. But like that's the point. Like in Lancaster, I'm not gonna speak to somebody like I'm speaking to Philly, but in Philly, I'm not the same thing to Lancaster. They just won't get it. And I want people to apply that, like in Costa Rica. Like if it comes down to it, like and if the language barrier is gonna be a problem where I can't share the gospel with anybody, like that's a problem for me, right? I want to be able to speak to all people, everybody, even if it's a language I've never heard before. And I think another thing for me that I could take back is submitting to areas in ministry that I'm not normally in, right? It can be so easy to get comfortable in a certain area of ministry. Me personally, like I work at a daycare and I love serving in my children's ministry, and I do Sunday school. I love helping out with my youth ministry at my church. Like I love those things, and that's where I'm comfortable at. But if you ask me to do worship, or if you ask me to do like tech crew, I would look at you like, what? Not aware of those things. I can't do that. I can't sing. Best believe you hear me, your ears are going to break, or the glass is going to shatter, right? I can't promise you a beautiful sound, but I definitely promise you a joyful one. I don't think you should put me up there leading worship. But that's the point. Like, if the Lord needs me in other areas of ministry, I need to be comfortable with that, and I need to be comfortable with the fact that I am uncomfortable in those areas of ministry. And that's hard for me. That is really hard. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I took out of Costa Rica. I was stepping into certain areas where I was like, I'm not used to this. I don't want to do it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Awesome. So again, before we go, just again, prayer always important, and continue to tell our audience to continue to pray for those in Costa Rica and the organizations. But is there any other way that you know of besides that tangibly that others can also help out with any organizations that you work with in Costa Rica?
Yeah. So, believe it or not, when we that money that we all paid, it was about 40,000, all of us together, right? 2,000 each, 20 people. That money went towards the ministries. The ministry, the orphanage ministry, Calvary Chapel, like I said, that's called Thrive Ministry. That ministry, that building would have gotten taken away from them. They told us that the government was going to come and take everything away from this ministry had we not gotten in that money at that time. So it goes to show, like, the Lord, like, orchestrated everything. But like I'm 100% confident that the Lord will provide. But like that's something that like you could just be in, like be praying over and just be in support over just that ministry and every other ministry as well, you know, the widows and stuff like that, because like they're not rich in that area in San Jose. Like it's not like super rich. Like there, it's like when I went there, it's like poverty, a little poverty, you know? And it's like that's something that can definitely be lifted up in prayer with support. Like it is a big financial, I know they have a big financial need out there.
That's awesome. Well, King Zion, thank you so much for taking time to join us today and talk about your trip to Costa Rica. We'll certainly be praying for the people of Costa Rica. And once again, thank you again for your team for going down there and for being able to share with us about your trip today.
Praise the Lord. Thanks to the Lord for orchestrating everything.
Thanks again to King Saya for joining me on the King Chasing podcast for discussing his trip to Costa Rica with the Lancaster Bible College track and field team. For those wanting more information on High Performance Sports Costa Rica and maybe going on a trip with the organization to Costa Rica, you can visit them at hpscostarica.com. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in. You can listen to past episodes of the King Chasing podcast on the NCCAA YouTube channel, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the NCCAA.org/podcast. We have plenty more trips to discuss coming up soon on the King Chasing podcast as we'll round out the series. But until next time, thank you so much for tuning in to the King Chasing podcast.